That needs to be every one of our prayer. Lord, I want you to draw me nearer. And then we let him work how he wants to do that. You know, he has ways of doing it that if I were to ask him or tell him how I'd like for him to do it, I would probably not use some of those ways. If I need patience, I would really like for it to happen while I'm asleep at night, and in the morning I'm more patient. But you know what? How it's going to come about? It's going to be somebody that's going to show me that I need it, and I go asking the Lord to help me out with it. many things in our life, had I the choosing of my pathway, folks, in blindness, we'd all go astray. But it's my desire to make heaven my home. And I'm thinking of a song. I believe it's number 219 in our book. I am learning of my Savior precious lessons every hour. How the soul which he has ransomed may be kept by mighty power. The Lord would have us all to learn daily how we can walk closer to him. Because there's a verse that says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And I'm going to need the Lord to be able to teach me the way to go. I would like to think again about last night's message for a little bit. Respect for authority. And as of last night, the message didn't bother if you were a Republican or a Democrat, because we didn't have a president for either one out in the future, and I guess we still don't. But what I'm thinking about is how far-reaching that is. It's not just the president, but it's anyone that is in authority over me, that I learn to have respect for them, if it's a police officer or who it is, and how much God is interested in that happening. So I want you to think about this. Is that possible in 2020 for me to have a respect for authority? How does God look at it? Is it possible for someone to be the leader of our country and I have a respect for the office and yet be able to clearly tell right from wrong and what God approves of and what he doesn't, and yet keep the right attitude toward the office? I believe it's possible. What I do about my attitude will very likely determine where I spend eternity. And I have thought about this, and I maybe mentioned it last night. Many times I've looked at the parable in Matthew 25 and 1 about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. You know, all of those were prepared to meet the bridegroom at one time. They all had a lamp that was lit. But time passed by, and 5 of them failed to keep it lit. And that just doesn't hardly seem to, I don't really understand how to relate that to 2020, except I start asking the Lord. Lord, you know, there's probably some things in 2020 that if I'm not careful, they can cause me to move from a wise virgin to a foolish virgin. That I not be prepared when you call for me. And this could be one of those. I'm having to ask the Lord myself, Lord, help me to know how to walk. I mentioned last night, if you're a Christian, you're a citizen of another country. But you know what? We're still a citizen of this one too. We still have laws that are passed, and how we can keep a respect for the office and do what God gives us instruction to do should the office not fulfill what he wants. You know what instruction it gives us? Get on your knees and pray. Pray for those that are in authority so that we would be able to lead a quiet and a peaceable life. I want to give you an example. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was able to say, Father, I want you to forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Could we say that today, when the laws are passed about abortion in America, and my feelings want to get stirred that this is a murder, can I say, like Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing," and pray for them? Stephen, as he was being stoned, could have had a whole lot of things to say to them. But instead, what he said was, "I don't want you to lay this sin to their charge. Lord, I desire that they make heaven enough that you would erase this one." Daniel had a testimony that he had an excellent spirit, and that was not his testimony of himself. It was the queen's testimony of having watched his life. Prayed 3 times a day because he was a citizen of another country also, a heavenly country. We read that story of King Darius, a ruler, respect for authority, made a foolish law. When someone came to him, and King Darius really didn't even understand what all was behind it. "I want you to make a law that nobody prays to anyone for 30 days but you." And he signed that law into effect. You know, he had a great concern for Daniel. Daniel was a close friend of his. He had elevated him to a very high position, and he didn't want him to go to the lion's den. But I look at the excellent spirit that Daniel had. You know, the king was not able to sleep that night when Daniel's in the lion's den. And he goes out the next morning, and it says he cried with a lamentable voice, "Daniel, has God saved you?" You know what? Here's where we find where Daniel had an excellent spirit. Yes. Because he had plenty that he could say to the king. "What were you thinking anyhow? You're stuck on yourself when somebody just tells you don't pray to anybody else." Did he say that? Not at all. "O king, live forever. I got this respect for you, for your position, even when you make foolish decisions, foolish laws. I say, Lord, help me." In the time that we're living in, that should we have a leader that makes poor choices and passes bad laws, that we would be able to say, "Father, forgive them. They really don't know. They don't understand that we have another country that we're going to. They don't understand, and that I spend time praying for them." Yes. Compare Daniel's excellent spirit to this. It says in Luke 9, 51 to 55, where Jesus is coming through this city of the Samaritans, and he sends James and John into the city to make ready for him there. It says, when the Samaritans saw that his face was turned, that it would go to Jerusalem. In other words, realizing, you know what? They're not Samaritans. They're moving on to go worship in Jerusalem. They're not a part of us. They didn't allow them to stay. And James and John had something come up within them. Should we call down fire out of heaven and destroy them? Here's what I think needs to be done. And what was Jesus' response? "You don't know what spirit you're of. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men, but to save them." You know, I find for myself, I can easily fall into that same category today. When I hear laws passed like abortion, and I think, "Lord, looks like you'd call down fire out of heaven," I need to be realizing I don't know what spirit I'm of. Because Jesus was seeking to save people, not to destroy them. A few years ago, I had something happen in my life. I don't know if any of you have heard of this woman, but there was an infidel. Madeline O'Hara, a proclaimed atheist. And one of the times that I heard of her was there were some astronauts that were orbiting the moon on December the 24th of 1968. And they read the first chapter of Genesis to everyone that was tuned in from the earth. And it made a huge impact on people. But Madeline O'Hara was very upset that people had to listen to that. So she filed a lawsuit. And it went to the Supreme Court. I want to sue against this having been done. The Supreme Court made a ruling on it. And I would really hope our Supreme Court is the same way today. Their ruling was this: the moon is not in our jurisdiction. We cannot take care of a lawsuit of something that happened at the moon. And they dropped it. So she lost that one. She gained several other ones. But there was something that happened one time. I was still a teenager. And one night I turned the radio on and she was on. She was having a speech at a college. And she said that night, "I am here tonight to show you that there's no God." She said, "In fact, what I want, I'm going to prove it to you right here. I'm asking that if there is a God, I would like for you to strike me dead right here." You know what happened to me? Yes. This is time, Lord. You can show a whole lot of people that there is a God right now. And there was silence. You know, I almost expected to hear the boom of and the crash and she's gone. But it wasn't. You know, because the Lord is a lot more merciful than we are sometimes. He's not willing that any would perish, but that everybody would come to repentance. So he showed mercy to her also. And she walked away from the stage saying, "There is no God." But those of you that know the story that goes on farther, she was killed by some of her own people later on down the road. But what I find from that is what we looked at the other day. Here's what I need to be doing in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men." Here's what I need to be doing is sending up prayers for everyone, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Got a desire to lead a quiet and a peaceable life. And so for that reason, I'm going to start praying for those that are in authority. As we see laws passed that contradict God's law, let's spend some more time praying for those that are in authority. Well, tonight, what I want to talk to you about is while we're here on this earth, we have man's laws to deal with. But because I'm a citizen of another country, I have God's laws also. God's laws are so different than man's. And I think of the one that we were just talking about. Darius, King Darius, was able to be influenced by other people around him to sign a law into order that he didn't fully understand. You know what? That could easily happen today. Man himself cannot see everything that God sees. Man looks at it different than God looks at it. And man changes laws back and forth. We're living down here, and we have to work with that. But what I would like for you to look at tonight with me is God's laws. They're forever settled. I'd like to look at that verse. It's in Psalms 119 and 89. You know, we're living in a time here on earth where nothing is settled. It can be changed if another president comes into office. He can change back so many of the laws that the other one had, or just leaders of our country. But look at this one, 119 and 89. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. With just those words that he spoke, let there be, in Genesis 1, and the earth has continued the same ever since then. God tonight is in control of nature. And there has been, as I have been looking at this and asking the Lord to search me, because I have some feelings rise up about some things. One of those is environmentalist and global warming. When I start hearing of what all needs to be done, because in 10 years we are going to self-destruct if we don't do it, you know what wants to happen inside of me? Something wants to start bubbling and saying, come on, folks, start thinking. But I've thought of something, and I believe the Lord has dealt with me about it. I want you to think about, if you did not believe in God tonight, and you felt like it was your responsibility to keep all this together, I'd be stressed too. Because just in this past week, we came from Oklahoma this past week, where it was 91 degrees one day, and about 2 days later, our trees were falling off because they had too much ice on them. An ice storm had come and brought destruction. We had there in Oklahoma, we had 300,000 homes that were without power, and some of those were without power for like a week. Now, if you are feeling like you're needing to take control of global warming, you say, okay, we need a little heat over here, though, because we just broke off a bunch of trees because it was too cold and icy. But then we got fires going on out in California and in Colorado. Oh, we need to do something about that. That's too dry because of global warming. But now we've got a hurricane coming into Louisiana. We got all this happening at one time. And we got people that's feeling like there is no God, and we have to control it. No wonder there's stress. You know what it did for me? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do you realize how much peace there is from believing Genesis 1? Just calmly believing Genesis 1. God spoke it into existence. We have people that have spent billions of dollars trying to prove how many billions of years this earth is. And it's almost like if I can throw a few more billion on it, it'll boggle your mind and you'll believe it. But you know what? With all that money that has been spent, you can go down to Walmart, I believe, and for $5, just tell them you want to buy the first chapter of Genesis. Buy the Bible. And it will tell you so easy. Yes. God did it. Yes. And if he did it, I don't have to worry how he takes care of it. I believe he's interested in us taking care of what he has given us. But don't stress about it. He can take care of it. We have tornadoes in Oklahoma. You know what an environmentalist will do when a tornado comes? He'll do the same thing I do. Run and hide. Get under something. Now, he may come out later and say it's because of this or that that did it. But you know what? When we can believe from the heart, God's in control of all things. He is in control of nature. And you know, I was reading in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, when it tells about that in the last days, there's going to be scoffers that come. What are those scoffers going to be saying? You know what? They're going to be acknowledging what I'm acknowledging tonight. God created it way back there. Since the beginning of creation, things have continued just like they were from the beginning. You know, that's an acknowledgement of God and what he did. He spoke it into existence, and it has continued that way up to today. And we had the verse in Genesis 8 and 22, when God made the proclamation, the promise, while the earth remains. Folks, there's going to be summer and winter. There's going to be cold and heat. There's going to be day and night. They're not going to cease until he calls it to an end. And why is that? Because His word is eternal. His word is forever settled. No matter what people say about global warming, God is in control of it all. And I'm very thankful for that. The verse where Jesus said, 14 and 27 of John, "I've got some peace that I'm going to give you. It's not the kind of peace that the world will give you." You know, today the only peace that the world's going to give is if we throw a whole lot of money at this global warming thing. If we try to cut out all these and the things that they are saying is so strange. They've even come to the place that we're not going to be able to have cows. We're going to have to get rid of a whole lot of things to be able to make it. I look at all those and I am so thankful that there's some peace that Jesus wants to give us. Yes. It's not the peace that the world will give. Then it says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Put your trust and your hope in God. We have a song, number 332. It says, "By the word of God, the worlds were made, and they're held in place by His command. All the grasses wither, the flowers fade, but His truth forever stands. Oh, the precious Bible, counsel for my soul. Path the faithful saints and martyrs trod. Settled in the heavens, true while ages roll, changeless as the throne of God." Looking at a verse in Isaiah, Isaiah the 40th chapter, the 8th verse. "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." That is a great comfort to me. Jesus also said in Matthew 24 and 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away." It's going to be settled forever. You know, global warming is supported in the scripture. It's in the 3rd chapter of Peter. Now, how long it'll take to go from warm to melted, I don't know. But you know, we can understand that God is in control of it all. It tells us in 2 Peter 3 that the day is going to come. It also says there's a reason why it hasn't come so far. It's because of His mercy. He's not willing that any would perish, but that everybody would come to repentance. But He says that there is coming a time when this earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be gone. So yes, there will be a warming, but it's going to be gone in a little bit of time. But here's what I want us to think about for a little bit tonight. God's word is forever settled. There is something else in 2 Peter 3 that I need to be thinking about. Since His word is settled forever, and since one of His promises is that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, this 10th verse, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then it tells me, if I really believe this, what should I be doing? 11th verse, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" You remember the 10 virgins? 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 were not ready. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, how should I be living my life? Don't let me get caught up in anything that I would not be prepared when that day comes for me. How should I be living? And it goes on down in the 14th verse. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." We live in a Christian world today that says you cannot live free from sin. It says that you make a decision for Christ and you will make heaven your home. This one says, if I'm looking and expecting that this thing is going to wrap up one day, I need to be found of Him in peace, without any spot without any blame, without and be blameless, without spot and blameless. I say, Lord, help me that in this day and time that this forever settled that I believe his word is, some of these things are forever settled. While we are as a nation tonight trying to decide who's going to be the next president, the end of time is clicking closer. And I tell you, there has been so much change this year. I would have never thought it possible that a sickness could stop the world. A sickness could affect the world so fast. You know what it told me? That verse that says our life is really a vapor. It's here for a little bit of time, and then it's gone. This year has brought that home to me quicker than anything. I think I've already mentioned it here. But in January, Clint and I went to India, and we went through the Hong Kong airport, going and coming. You know, and in January, this thing was already going, and we didn't even know it. There were a lot of people from around that area that we saw in the airports wearing masks, and I didn't really understand why. Possibly they knew more than what I knew. But how quick that thing spread across the world. Do you think we're safe? We are when the Lord's in control. There is nothing that can be done that's out of his control. But I believe this has been brought to our world to tell us, you better get ready. It could be anything that would come. Do we live in fear of the future? No. No more than I live in fear of global warming when I understand that God brought it all into existence. But I do need to be ready, because that's part of this forever settled. Is there something out ahead for me? And I want to be ready for it. There is a verse that I want to look at in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes in the third chapter and in the 14th verse. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. You know, this year, God has allowed it. And I believe the purpose is that men would fear before him, realizing how fragile my life is. Over in Ecclesiastes, right at the very last verse of the 12th chapter, this also is forever settled. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is settled forever. God's going to bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, there is appointment made for us. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There is a danger for me in the chaotic time that we're living in, that my heart gets caught up in all the things that are happening, and I forget that I have an appointment. Judgment is coming for me. You know how many people that we know just this year that have gone out into eternity quickly? Some of you may know our brothers Lauren and Sister Maxine, our pastors there in Oklahoma City. I did not know he had any trouble with his heart. Got a call one Saturday morning to come. Seemed like he was having trouble. Got there, and 45 minutes later, he was out in eternity. Our life is a vapor. The devil would love to catch us and get us consumed with something. Yes. It can be the things that are happening around us this day. I say, Lord, help me to back off of what's happening in the world. Not let it consume my thinking. This forever settled word has some other things that it advises me to be thinking about. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, good report. If there's any virtue, be thinking about these things. The devil wants to send us in another direction. You know, the Bible still, this settled word, still teaches holiness. It still tells us in Hebrews 12 and 14 for us to follow peace with all men and holiness. Without it, no man's going to see the Lord. So I've got to measure myself by the Word of God. There is a song that we've sung in the past. Some say that the times are changing and that the church should be changing too. That staying with the fashion is the proper thing to do. But the Bible says, be holy. And holiness is the same. For Jesus never changes. Oh, praise His holy name. I'd rather be old-fashioned and know that all is well than live too close to this dark world and lose my soul in hell. I'd rather follow Jesus, despised though I may be, and know that I'll share His glory throughout all eternity. To do that, I'm going to have to focus. There are some things that would like to distract me in my run for this other city that I'm going to. Joshua said it this way in Joshua 24 and 15. You choose this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God's word is forever settled. It tells me that I am to train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. But you know what? They're still going to get choices that they make. Young people, I want to encourage you. You're going to be able to make choices. But remember, there's consequences to those choices. There's another song that I'd like to give you in closing. It says, beyond the borders of time, there's a beautiful land. The word of God is glory unfurled. By the grace of God, I someday will call it my home. I would never miss heaven for the world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though things of earth may try to allure, for the smile of God means more than sin's brief glittering days. We got to keep our focus. I'd never miss heaven for the world. I'd never miss seeing Jesus. I'd never miss seeing loved ones who have gone on before. I would never trade forever for a few days down here. I'd never miss heaven for the world. It said of Moses that he made a choice. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Folks, let's keep our focus. We may never have a desire to go out into sin, and the devil knows that. He will lay a trap in another way, and it may be just what consumes my mind. Lord, help me to realize your word is forever settled. Man may make laws all around it. Let me not get caught up with a bad attitude and be lost because of that. But when I find those laws crossing God's laws, may I go to my knees and pray, because I'm a citizen of two different countries. I am to pray for the peace of this one, but I am not to let go of the goal of the other one. God help us. I am so thankful that His word is settled. It won't change. It won't change whoever becomes the next president. It won't change for anyone. Now, some people might would say, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. And yet I could find scriptures in the Bible where He did change. And you know what? Every one of them that I find where He changed His mind was because mercy was extended. You remember where He said to Moses, step back. I'm going to destroy this people. And I'm going to make of you a great nation. And Moses pled with Him, Lord, don't do it. And the Lord said, okay, I won't do it. That was no law of God's about moral issues. That was mercy being extended. 2 Peter 3 tells us about that mercy being extended again. This is why the world has not come to an end yet, because he's not willing that any would perish. But the end is coming. He has not changed on holiness. He is still expecting a people that lives a holy life. This song that we looked at right at the beginning of the message, I am learning of my Savior. I'd like to also say, Lord, I would like to continue learning from you. You know, the best way to do it is to humble myself before him and to say, Lord, I could have preconceived ideas that I feel like are right. But Lord, if they're going to keep me out of that heavenly country, I want to open myself to you and ask you at any time to talk to my heart. And I believe he wants to do that with each of us today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And I can lose my soul following all the things in the Bible of what are do's and don'ts. Except I get a bad attitude. And it consumes me. And I'm not able to look at it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind that was in Christ Jesus when he was done wrong? He could say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I am glad God's word is forever settled in heaven, and I want to measure myself to it. I desire your prayers. Yes.